Recording. Okay, so hello again, everyone, and welcome in our ARIES Framework JavaScript weekly call. Screen share. So let me just share the screen. Because as always, there is some antitrust policy in here. And maybe before we start, I see there are many new people. If I'm not mistaken. So, is there anyone who would like to introduce themselves?
Well, I can introduce myself, for example. Hello. My name is Slava, and I work for Sigpa. And I work with Victor Martinez. I come today with some people like Andrew Nadrariev. We are looking to get into the community, get to know the work front for ARIES JavaScript. And we were thinking to contribute with the DITCOM V2 functionality for ARIES JavaScript. And we were thinking that to ask you, like, if that's possible, if that is on your roadmap and things like that. So, I'm a mostly a front-end engineer for the projects that we have here at Sigpa. I do some back-end as well. I joined recently, like 4 months ago. And I'm very excited to contribute to the open source community. So, hello.
Yeah, great. That's great. Sounds great. So, yeah, welcome. And it's really nice to have you here. And I'm a bit aware of the work of Sigpa and DITCOM implementation and DITCOM Rust implementation. So, yeah, it's amazing that you're interested in this project and contribution here. So, yeah, I think. DITCOM V2 is definitely, maybe it's not on roadmap yet, but me personally, I would be happy if we are heading towards this version of DITCOM. So yeah, sounds good, sounds great. Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hello, I just wanted to say hi as well. I'm Edoardo Perti, joining for the first time the meeting as well. So I'm glad to be here. And I'm a computer engineer working in our R&D department for a French company called Alten. And we are currently working on blockchain solutions based mostly on Fabric and Indy. And now we are shifting our focus on ARIES as well. So that's why I would like to check out what's going on with especially the JavaScript framework, and maybe if I might also give you some help, maybe since it's really new, maybe for the documentation or something like more basic stuff, and then see how it goes, and maybe jump on to more technical stuff, let's say. So thank you for your time as well. And
welcome here again. It's really great to hear that we have new members and new people interested in this project, so it's really nice to see. And yeah, I think there's plenty of work, so from the easiest one to the maybe more difficult things, so no, don't worry about this. Okay, great. Okay, anyone else? You don't have to, of course, but you know, just this is the space for this, so I'm leaving some time. Okay, I think that's all. So yeah, let's move on. Maybe first thing before we jump to agenda. Actually, this is today is my last call as a host, because we discussed with Timo a bit that it would be nice, as we see right now, that new members are coming to this project. It would be nice to improve more organization of the calls and improve, you know, agenda and collaboration around. So I decided that I would like to step down a bit, and I've been quite busy, and yeah, I didn't feel like that I'm handling this in the best way, and I think Timo will be the best person, and he will take over this from me, and he knows the framework better than me now, and he knows a lot of protocols. So I think it's gonna be in really in good hands. So that's what I have to say. Timo, if you want to add something, I don't know, maybe maybe you can take it over immediately, but
no, you can do it for this meeting still. I don't have anything to add. I mean, thanks for doing it for this long and starting this project in the first place.
I'm still happy to contribute. So I hope that I will still be contributing to the project. But yeah, this is just small change. Nothing serious. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm a bit cold. So still not 100% healthy. Let's move on with the agenda then. Merging out of band and the exchange is the next point. Timo, you just wrote to chat that it would be good to actually discuss the Bitcoin V2 at the end of this call, maybe next time. I agree with that. I have also some ideas, so we'll see. If I have some time, it would be great. So now out of band and exchange. So what's left and what's to help? Currently, I think there is still some refactoring around the BitKeys. So I created PR to use BitKeys instead of the older version of IndyKeys, or I don't know how to name them. So there is still PR. Timo, you had some comments to this. I kind of agree with that. I just want to look how the idea you suggested would look like in the code, and maybe also do this change. You know, I'm like not so in favor of like OOP style. I tend to use more functional ways. So therefore, like these like objects, using of objects in the framework is a bit, you know, not hard to understand to me, but it's a bit something I didn't want to go in that way. But you know, to be honest, I understand that it's one approach. Maybe it's a good approach for some things, and maybe for the framework it's the best. I don't know. So the time will show us. But yeah, I think for the quality of the code, it's irrelevant if it's OOP or FP. Not irrelevant, but there are many other maybe issues which are not relevant to what if it's OOP paradigm or functional paradigm. So therefore, I was a bit like, you know, been thinking about this idea moving from like functions and changing something with functions and adding behavior to objects. So but let's do it. Let's utilize it. We are already using it a lot. So yeah.
I'm fine with not taking an OOP an object oriented approach. It's the only thing what I was commenting on now is that we the method takes in the key, and it can be either a DID key or a public key base 58, which makes it quite ambiguous where in the framework we're having the OOP style or the not OOP style. And so I would rather, like, when we get it in, convert it once and then use. I'm fine with like passing public key base 58 everywhere. But I think it's more like making it clear in the code whether you're dealing with a base 58 encoding or a DID key encoding of the key. I think that would be great to add to make the code more clear and know what you can expect.
Yeah, and no, I, you know, as I just said, that I was just thinking about this. This was my like hesitation at first place. But yeah, I thought about it, and I think let's do it. Let's try it, and it's gonna be a definite improvement. So no problem with that. And we have a lot. We are like using a lot of OOP approach already. Maybe we should adopt it and use it if it's convenient. So that's the DIT keys. Another thing is there is still question how to convert the num algo, peer dits and that stuff, but I think, you know, that's something, it's internal, and I right now it's important that if we recognize the existing connection in some way, it's for us if it's the same connection. That's important, like for the instance of the framework. If it's important to be the same, but yeah, we can change it. And then about the public API of the out of band module, I'm still using records. So there was an idea if we shouldn't maybe use not records, but ID. So don't return out of band record, but return out of band record, but proceed with the out of band invitation bypassing ID. So I don't have strong opinion about this. I'm quite good with current API, but if we want to change it in and make it like same way as other APIs, I can do it also. So should we do it in this way? Or do any ideas?
That was one of the things that I know Patrick and I were going to want to change or recommend, is because when actually utilizing it means that you end up having to set more state internal to your application to store the out-of-band record just to have the ID referenced. And it would make, I think, more sense to be able to just pass the ID when accepting. And if you need the whole out-of-band record to get that out, you can fetch that using the API.
Yeah, and that's also what we need to add as a public API. That I think that there are no methods to get like out of bands. Maybe there is by ID, but I'm not sure. Maybe not all out of bands. So, but this shouldn't be so difficult to do. So it's like a few hours of work. Those changes of API, hopefully. Then maybe something. Yeah, definitely state, did exchange state, did exchange record state, and connection record state. The problem with that, that's still there. And I think. I think that's probably all. I will definitely write some list of those tasks. Because I think I probably left something out. So I will write down the list. But yeah, it's this. And of course, handshake rules. Yeah, sorry, that was the thing I thought. And then handshake rules is a question. I know that you, James, and your team did a lot of work about this handshake rules. So then I guess we have to right now to discuss how to reuse your work, how to apply the changes. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, we're happy to actually finish this up and get it merged in. I think the
yeah, you've been doing a lot of work, and so that's made it hard to actually get merged back into the out-of-band branch. So if that's a little bit more stable, I think we could probably actually get that push back up. Because I think we've got most of that sorted out. I think the biggest question there is the two biggest things there is that we're storing the invitation DID, and if it's a DID key, how do we go about encoding that into the pure DID NumalGo 2?
Sorry, if the invitation DID is DID key?
It's an inline service block, so you have to encode it into a pure DID.
Yeah,
which is something you already brought up, but so I think we've already addressed that. So those are the two biggest questions, and you've already done the work. You've already adapted our work to include the invitation DID in the connection record, so that shouldn't be a problem. So I don't see any blockers for us actually being able to merge our work back in connection reuse.
Yeah. So yeah, as you said, I actually took some parts of your code about this NumAlgo and invitation DID. So, and I did this change. It's already merged in the out of band feature feed out of band branch. It's there. There is still question. I actually opened an issue in Eris RFCS about this, how to do it. So that's still a question. But as I said, the implementation is there as I understood it from the specification. So, and I think I think that's it for now. So, and another thing you did was the DID keys, which we just discussed. That I also like took some parts and updated across the framework. And now it's still open because, yes, Timo suggested maybe we should do some refactorings around this. So yeah, maybe I should do this first, and then we can move, or you can move forward with the merging it back, probably.
Yeah, I'm good with that approach. I think Timo's suggestion is wise because it helps. Centralize the reduce the number of different cases, which is helpful. So the other thing that I wanted to make sure was actually covered was DIDSOV support. I think it should be I need to look at it because I'm not sure if the current branch will support that appropriately or not. I haven't I'm not up to speed with 100% where the current branch is at. So,
okay. Yeah, okay. If you find out something which is wrong or missing, let me know. And yeah, I will look at the DID keys. Hopefully tomorrow I should have updates. And then let's figure out how to merge it together with Handshake Reuse.
Awesome.
Okay. And that's all for this, or anything else for this out of band exchange?
Go ahead, James.
Oh, sorry, Timo. I would just add on that we may want to make sure that we plan on the data migration because we'll need to make sure the connection records and invitations are appropriately translated to out of band records and connection records.
Yeah.
Sorry, Timo.
Yeah, no, what I was going to say, that's also what I asked Jakub earlier today, maybe if we can merge OOB DID exchange, because I think it's in a relatively stable state now. And if we merge it, then it may be a bit easier to work together on it. So then, James, you can pick up the Handshake Reuse, and I'll make sure to write the migration script. And Jakub can work on the DID key and the public API. And then we can make PRs, maybe smaller PRs to the main branch from then on.
Ah, okay. So you meant to merge it right now before those changes, or because I thought maybe if we add this key, did keys, and then it's a question about handshake rails. Yeah, maybe we can merge it and then add handshake rails. But shouldn't we add migrations like together with merging it to main branch?
Well, the migration script is only meant to update from stable to stable version at the moment. So we just have to make sure that before we release 0.2.0, we have the migration script in place.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think
okay.
In the future, I think we should probably, if we make more often releases, I think it's less of a problem to have it from release to release. And we could look at a per commit migration, but I thought for now, it's just easiest to make sure before we create the next release, we have to make sure everything is in a right state.
Yeah, okay, that's actually good news, because I thought that we need everything before we merge it into main, because then it's like, but it's not released yet. That's right. That it's still it's just main branch. It doesn't mean it's like release version.
No, I think it's okay. Only because it's now in a relatively far state. I think if we merged in main, you can already use it from the alpha version release to NPM and start testing with it. And I don't think there may be a bit of change, but probably not a lot to the public API anymore.
Okay. So then, I'm thinking about that public API, you know, should we really merge it right now as it is, or do we still considering like updates of API at least and the did keys work? Just tell me. I don't know if
I would merge it now, because I think that it will help allow both Timo, you, and me to all make contributions to it at the same time.
I think that would be, if you open a PR, it'll do one review before merging it into main on what's currently there, and then from then we can make pull requests to main.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then I will prepare PR, I guess. So yeah, today, tomorrow. Okay. Okay. Anything else to this one?
Yeah, maybe as a last question on the, you quickly mentioned the did exchange record state and connection record state. I'm not sure, for example, James, what your opinion on it is, like if most of us think we should separate it, I'm fine with that. So, but that we can get, now have an answer on the question.
To the question of whether or not have a connection record and a did exchange record as two separate records?
No more on whether the state property, I think currently how you implement it, right, Jakub, is if it's using the did exchange protocol, it will use the did exchange state values. And if you're using the connection protocol, it will use the connection protocol state values. So the state value differs which protocol you use. The state can always be one or two of states. I think my preference would go to combining it into one and mapping it, so you don't have to deal with two enum values basically. But I'm interested to hear your opinion on this.
I would tend to agree. According to my memory, the actual states between the two different protocols are they overlap pretty well. So I think that there will be a good opportunity to
use the same state between the two or have a mapping so that from the end user perspective, it's you don't have to do an if statement where you check if it's a did exchange state invited or connection state invited or whatever, you know. I think that might help in that regard. So I would be in favor of mapping them.
Yeah, this is like the difference. So it is quite similar. I wasn't sure if the emitting of the states is doesn't differ. So yeah, but maybe we can emit the it seems like this quite similar, the changes. The connection, we are going to remove it probably sometime sooner or later, I don't know. Maybe it's okay, I don't know. My idea was like to really you know, preserve the protocols as they are like described in RFCs, and then you know, it's really like separate, and there are no like, we are not putting like them together in some parts. But yes, as I like, if it's quite similar and we want to do it, then maybe let's do it. But
what might make sense is to map the connection state to the did exchange state, because that's what we want to move towards. And then there can still be internal to the framework a preservation of the actual RFC states, but then it's a simpler and will stay consistent for the end framework user to have it be on the did exchange state.
If you think it's worthy and it helps like with work with the working with framework, I'm okay with that. I didn't see it as like necessary change, but you know. Okay. So yeah. Is it all? Anything else? Okay, I guess that's all. The next iOS simulator issues. What is it? Do you know more about this? Or
yes? I don't actually think Akif is on the call today, but question came up in the Aries Bifold group, and we thought it might be more relevant to talk about it here. / I think Timon has more knowledge on this than I do. Of right now, we are unable to use iOS simulators with the Indie SDK, and I believe this is due to architecture issues with Rust. But I'm curious if there's other information and or if there's progress and or is this something that would be solved with shared libraries. Just want to see what our path is to potentially helping address this.
Yeah, I can give them. So the problem is we can't get it to build in the SDK for simulator architectures. Berend has given it a shot, but he was running into all kinds of issues with I think OpenSSL dependencies, and eventually gave up. We also have that same problem at the moment, but we were making sure that the new shared component libraries, we're almost finished with the Indie VDR wrapper, and that works natively on both simulator and physical device. And it also works with auto-linking. So it will just be a yarn add package, and you need to do a pod install, and then it will work. for both.
Awesome.
So yeah, we've given up for basically in the SDK because it's just so much time invested in it and the pipelines are so complex and yeah.
Right, right. No, I think that makes sense. So, I think given that the shared, I think from my perspective, given the time invested and my knowledge, it makes the most sense to just put our effort into the shared libraries and that is the best path to addressing this issue rather than trying to go down the indie SDK compiling route.
So, yeah, but if you're able to build it yourself, then yeah, I would really appreciate that. But it's just we couldn't get it to work.
Hey James, it's Jason here. What does the shared library approach mean with respect to this issue? Like, is it a workaround or is it just something completely different?
So Timo may be better to address this, but the idea here with indie shared libraries is to split up the indie SDK into various different responsibilities. So indie VDR being handling just the interactions with the ledger. The indie credex is dealing with the wallet and credential non-creds management. Aries Askar for the wallet storage mechanism. So the idea to break up the indie SDK and have it be more specific to the individual different responsibilities. And as part of that, that means that we'll have new or better maintenance and support. So Timo and team have been working hard on the React Native wrappers for that using the Turbo modules. And so I think this is going to get us to be able to utilize the same functionality that the indie SDK is giving us, but in a better, more sustainable manner. Other thoughts you want to throw on that, Timo?
No, I think perfectly explained.
Awesome.
I didn't know who asked the question. So if it has been answered.
Yep, that helps. Thanks.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I wanted to ask. Maybe this is for another discussion for next time. But how if we decide to go, we actually want to go with these separate libraries. But would it be still possible to use the framework with both like Indie and those three new libraries? And how many changes do we assume we would need to do in AFJ to adopt those libraries? Because to me, it seems like really huge jump, but maybe I'm too skeptical about this. Like, not skeptical, but you understand what I mean.
It will be a big jump and it will be quite some work because the indie SDK did everything for you, but now we have more three lower level libraries that we need to combine ourselves to basically match the indie SDK API. So we'll be adding the functionality in addition to the indie SDK, and basically it would allow you to provide either indie SDK or the shared components. So we will create an Askar wallet in addition to an indie wallet. We'll create an indie SDK ledger service. No, that we already have that one, and then we will create an indie VDR ledger service. And so you'll be able to swap them out because we can't make the switch at once. And it's important to start using the framework and running tests against both of them and first making sure we're getting the same result for the new shared libraries as we get for the indie SDK. So that's our approach right now. And I also added it to the bottom of the agenda. I think we can push it to next week. Is a bit on how are we going to approach this with also with the addition of new credential types, but also different libraries, and how you can basically inject them yourself and say, like, I want you to use this dependency for storage instead of in the SDK, for example.
Yeah. Okay, because we discussed this a bit before, but you mentioned that you suggest to go to do the development work within the SDK and go to production with the new libraries. But I would like to go to production maybe next month, or you know, in May, in June, and that's not, I don't think that's realistic, right? So I think if you are finished with your work at the end of May, then it will take another month, maybe more, to integrate it into AFJ. Or was your estimation based on the work also, like did it contain also the work needed in AFJ?
Yeah, so the end of May, our target is to have the work done in Aerosphere with JavaScript.
Okay.
Integrated. And I already said it may be tight. We first focus on adding JSON-LD credential support and BBS, which we've been working a lot with Northern Block in Ontario. But Berend is currently working on writing the wrapper libraries, and it has taken us a while to set it up, mostly because we needed to write the wrapper in C++ and set up the architecture with turbo modules, which was really undocumented. But we have that now, and now that we have it, because we've done it now for the BBS library and also for VDR, I think it's a more repeatable pattern. So that will go quicker. But from there, we will start integrating it into AFJ. But we hope to have that done. But yeah, maybe if you want to go live sooner, then you probably should stick with in the SDK for now.
Okay. Yeah, and but here, if it's possible to run it, like, let's say, not in parallel, but you know, if you can like use the one and then other day use the another one, then it's, I think that's okay. So
yeah, the downside of that approach is that once we have added OSCAR support, there's no way yet to migrate the wallet from the indie style to OSCAR style, because it's not like there's making changes in how OSCAR stores things. And well, there's basically two approaches. One is you could package both the shared libraries and indie, but that will increase the size of the app because you're having a lot of native binaries. The other approach is you would need to write a SQL script that basically opens the encrypted wallet and migrates it, because you can do it on an encrypted wallet. You don't have to decrypt the wallet contents to be able to migrate it to an OSCAR style wallet. And I think that will be the approach we need to take, but there isn't a migration script yet. And I know OSCAR or Andrew has been working on it, mostly for Postgres, which we would be able to easily migrate to SQLite. But yeah, it's also something we'll start looking at after we've made sure you can use OSCAR for a new wallet.
Yeah, okay. And how the dependency management will look like with those libraries? Because right now I can have like pod files for iOS, so I just do like pod install and that's all. And for the Android, I have like APKs or also some auto-linking for React Native. So any ideas or like how it will look like?
Yeah, it will work fully with auto-linking. So we'll add them as peer dependencies, and you have to install them yourself, because in React Native, auto-linking only works if they're directly a dependency in your package.json. They don't support dependencies of dependencies. So you have to add it yourself to your project. But from there, auto-linking will work. Mm-hmm. And at first, we'll do it by including the iOS and Android binaries in the npm package itself, just to make it as easy as possible to set up. because that's been a real pain point with India at the moment. And from there, we'll increase the, or improve the pipeline that we don't store the binaries in the package itself, but it will be fetched from a bucket or a GitHub release when you install it. But we thought we first want to make sure it works, like the user experience is nice, and then we'll start on improving and decreasing the bundle size.
Okay. Okay, yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Just gonna throw in that we're gonna, I think we're gonna move Bifold to Yarn to work around some of those dependency issues that we're running into too. Plus, he has done some work refactoring it to be a bit more of a like library, so it's easier for people to override and customize. And he's run into that dependency problem. Dependency of dependencies just don't seem to work with NPM. Anyway, it's just an FYI that we're moving Bifold to use Yarn as well.
That's good.
I added one thing to your discussion list when we get to that, Timo, of the types of indie SDK versus shared components types, if we'll have conflicts there. But we can get to that when we get there.
That's a good one. I haven't thought about it yet. I'll add it.
Okay, then let's move to another one. Question answer protocol, James.
Yeah, this this came up with Sabrina and I were looking at this on our team, and we said that we should probably wrap this up. And right now there's an open PR, and there were some comments made to address. But one of the original questions was whether or not this is something that we wanted within the framework itself or not. And I believe the initial discussion opted to keep it within the framework. But at this point in time, we now actually have the injection plugin method that was contributed, which is pretty awesome, which I think could make it a lot easier for us to make it into a AFJ extension. But also having it within the core is beneficial, I guess, for ease of use. So I don't think we have a super strong opinion. We can either address the comments in the existing PR or move it over to a extension. I guess we wanted to get some community feedback in terms of what we want to do there.
I think I'm fine with having it in the core. I think it's not a really big protocol. I think, yeah, and it doesn't add a lot of complex. It's not targeted at one specific platform. I think fine with adding it to core. I think eventually you may want to look at like having 50 protocols inside the core, whether we want that. But I think, yeah, fine with me. I think it makes it a bit easier to manage and keep it in line with AFJ. And moving it out adds some complexity, and it's a really easy protocol, I think, simple protocol. So I don't think it will add a lot of overhead to the development process of the core framework, but also open to other approaches.
I'm also good with this, so no problem. The core is not a core anymore, but no problem. But yeah, as Timo said, we will probably reorganize it a bit more in the future, but then it's related to other protocols maybe. So it's, yeah, I think that's no problem with that.
Yeah, I awesome. Think we also, go ahead.
Timo first.
Yeah, no, I was thinking we probably want to, like, if we're also going to look at, and it's also a bit related to like the growing size of dependencies, if we're going to add DITCOM v2 and multiple credential formats. And I've heard some interested from other parties that may be interested in leveraging AFJ, but in a more restricted environment where you can't, well, at least Indie won't work because they want to start using Wasm, for example. So I think eventually it would be good to look at what are the different components and extract them so we can have extract some protocols, extract some credential formats, or even extract the currently the Indie SDK and SCAR and all that shared components that would also be external packages, for example. So the core is really usable in any platform. And you can add what you need for your specific use case. I think also with DITCOM v2 now being separate from ARIs in general, people may want to use it for something that is not ARI specific, but just need a DITCOM agent to work with.
I definitely agree on that. We've had a desire from our end, at least, to be able to have just the DITCOM connection pieces and be able to have support for just that, I think would be really valuable. But then also be able to pull in, this specific use case needs Indie credentials. This specific use case just is using JSON-LD, and then having flexibility there. So, in terms of a question answer, I think that answers the questions there. I think your point on being able to maintain it better for now is a really good point, Timo. So we'll go ahead and clean that up and see if we can get that merged here soon. Thank you for the feedback. That's all I have on the question and answer. So we can probably jump back to that topic, Timo.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we naturally, you know, proceed to this one. So we also mentioned some ideas for this. So yeah, maybe let's move to this one.
I added it below the aim. Ask me anything. I thought maybe if people have questions or something, because we don't have that long anymore, then maybe we can add it to the agenda for next week with the DITCOM v2 discussion. I don't know if the SIGPA people will be here next week, but then can I already give it some thought this week and we can have a discussion like on how we can approach it.
Okay.
We will definitely come around next week for your meeting, and we'll hopefully have a better agenda. One more small thing we wanted to say is that we also are looking for some NFC capabilities for our application. That's, by the way, based on the Aries bifold, and we thought that the Aries JavaScript framework is a pretty good place for those NFC capabilities. So, tell us if now is a good time to elaborate or on the next meeting, whenever you like.
Yeah, maybe we can go share a bit of your initial thoughts. I had a short discussion with Daniel also about this, about the NFC support. And there's currently someone also working on Bluetooth support for AFJ. So I think it would be good to maybe, I think there's differences in NFC and Bluetooth, but I think it's both short range proximity transport. So I think there's a lot of overlap and maybe issues you run in. So I think it would be good to collaborate and see if there's overlap with him.
All right. Do you have any other meetings other than this community meeting? Or just Discord and then like one-to-one, right?
For AFJ, we have just this one call on Discord, but there are other calls for Aries in general. I don't know if you know about them, but there are like calls for Aries in general. So there is a call, another call instead of this one, but I'm assumed maybe you know about it.
There's the Aries Bifold user group call, just so you're aware of that one.
Yeah, we tried on Tuesday to come over, but the link was old in the README of the repository, unfortunately. And we went into an empty conference room and talked to ourselves. Yeah, I think it changed. I already saw the new link, so next time we'll be sure to come.
Awesome. And also, Timo, I know that you had brought up the idea of having another call for one focusing more technical for AFJ and one more use cases for AFJ. Is that something we're still thinking about doing?
Yeah, if people are interested in it, I thought, yeah, let's give it a rest. But I think it may be nice to split it up that way and have one focused on technical, one focused on more use case. What have you built with it? Yeah, so if people are interested in this, I think definitely yes.
I'm definitely interested in such demos and discussions about this and presentation of this. If it's like in one call or there are two different calls, that doesn't matter to me so much. But yeah, I think I don't know about anyone who has this, you know, tendency to present something like that. That maybe I didn't ask so much, so that's of course maybe a problem. But yeah, I counted with this that everyone can like jump in here and maybe add something to agenda that there is something interesting to present. So yeah. But definitely, it's definitely 100%. We should definitely focus on other topics than just framework internals.
Yeah, I think that would be great. So let's try it and see if it doesn't work or it's like very inefficient because we can't talk about the topics we want to talk about because this is the user group or vice versa, then we can switch back. But I think it'd be nice to see and test it for a while. See,
Do you want to do it? So what about next week? Do you want, because we already mentioned DITCOM, it seems like more about internals of the framework. So what would you like to do next week? Like working group or user group?
I think for next week, I asked Ariel, because he had contributed like the whole documentation on adding custom modules. So I asked him if he could present something on like what he's been working on and how he has been leveraging AFJ and also for writing custom protocols and stuff. So maybe a bit technical, but it is kind of like a user's perspective. So I think maybe if we start next week with the user thing. And I think also we could have discussions on DITCOM and that kind of stuff, but more keep it high level and like, if we're going to add DITCOM V2 support or that, and what do we need out of it from more of a public API or framework perspective instead of like how exactly do we need to implement it?
Yeah. Okay. So what about the next week? I would suggest to do it, and that now it's up to you, of course. But let's do the user group next week. Let's start with that. And just, you know, make the space for this demo and then another point can be the DITCOM and we can discuss it also next time. Because I'm also curious about the DITCOM and V2 and I would be happy to if we discuss it next time. Okay. I think we are running out of time. So is there anything else? James just mentioning that there is IIW or double IW. How should I
call IIW.
I don't believe in two weeks. Yeah, that's good. And conflicts for people. Okay. So then won't be by default user group call.
Are there a lot of people going from here? Are you going, James? Because it's now in person again. I'm not going to attend.
I will a couple of people from DC will be heading there, including me. So yeah.
Cool. I'm not going. Timo, are you going?
No, we're not. I hope they will do an online meeting again, online IAW again next time.
Yeah,
I was hoping you guys were going to be able to make it, but the international travel is a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, it's not around the corner.
I know from what they had discussed. I think they were talking about doing it as a every other time doing it online. So, fingers crossed.
Okay, that's the nice end of today's session. So yeah, thank you for being here, and see you next week.
Thanks, folks.
Bye.
See you. Bye. Thank you.